All right, let's look to the Word. You know, I've been thinking this last week. I've visited a whole lot of folks in the last few days, and there's been a whole lot of challenges that I've visited with. There's a whole lot of folks that are disappointed in life. There's a whole lot of folks that have hurts in their heart, in their soul, and in their bodies. And we know there's great joy in life, amen? There is great joy. We have a beautiful day. We live in the freedoms of America. We have so much to be joyful for. But there's also plenty of opportunity for disappointment. And I was reminded of that again last week as I visited a bunch of people around our community and in their homes, in the hospitals, in the care centers, and so on. And I'm reminded, you know, that we have opportunity in life to get a little disappointed and maybe even have a question or two for God. You know, we might think, well, far be it from me, Jim, to ever question God. But you know what? When things start to happen and difficulties start to hit us and we start to get assailed and buffeted by the ways of the world and the adversary, we got a question or two, don't we? We got a question or two. Perhaps we even say, why me, Lord? There's a song about that. I don't remember who wrote it. Chris Christopherson, I think. Is that who did it? And it's a good song with some good words, but I've thought of those words, and of course these words that I've got on your bulletin today, why me, Lord, aren't original with me. I thought of that song. But I did think of this. We oftentimes ask ourselves when the struggles and the waves of life assail us, why, God, do I have to go through this? Have you been there? I know that you have. We ask all kinds of questions, and it's out of our own hurt. It's out of the heaviness of our heart. We ask, why, Lord, do I have to go through another surgery? Why another test? Why do I have cancer? And on and on. Why is my family falling apart? Why is this happening to my children or that? Why is my marriage the way it is? Why am I going to jail? Why did that have to happen to us? Why did I lose my loved one? Why am I the one with no work? We've been there, haven't we, friends? And as I have visited with many of you in the last weeks and others that are not here and are never here on Sundays because they don't go to church, but I visit with a lot of friends that are sick and I've just thought, you know, there's sometimes we just need to be encouraged in the Lord. And I've chosen a couple of stories in the Bible that I know full well. You know all about them. But I know, too, that the questions that come to our mind about why am I going through this, Lord, has been a reality to many of you. I know that. And I want to encourage you with this psalm. It isn't written in your bulletin, but it's a really easy little psalm. It's from Psalm 56:3, and it says, O Most High, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. You ever been there? You just had to cry out. God in heaven, I don't know why I got to have another surgery. I don't know why I got to have another treatment. I don't know why my marriage is falling apart. I don't know why my children aren't following you. But, oh God Most High, when I'm afraid of these things, I will trust in you. And I picked a couple of other little stories from the Bible that I know you're aware of. And let me just remind us from Genesis 50 of a little story of about a man named Joseph. And I want to focus on Genesis 50:20, but let me give you just a couple verses prior to give you a little background. Genesis 50:15 says this, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, you know they're all in Egypt. You know they've been there a long time. You know why they're there, because of the drought and the famine, and Joseph being the second in command in Egypt has invited them down. So they're all in Egypt, and Joseph's and these other brothers, their dad dies. He's gotten to a very old age. And so the brothers see that their dad is gone, and they say, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sins, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? And here's the verse I want us to focus on for a minute. Here's what he said to his brothers, But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring about as it is this day to save many people alive. And I don't know how familiar you are with this story. I'm sure you're quite familiar with it. And we can go all the way back to Genesis 37. And this story begins with Joseph being about a 17-year-old boy, being betrayed by his brothers, thrown into this hole in the ground. Some of the brothers wanted to kill him. And along come these Ishmaelite traders that are headed to Egypt, and they draw Joseph up out of there, and they sell him, their own brother, and he's tied in the slave length, headed to Egypt. And I suspect there could have been a question or two in Joseph's mind, why me, Lord? I've been faithful to you. I'm only 17 years old. And I suspect as he was being sold and betrayed by his own brothers into the hands of slavery, he probably had a question too. God, are you still here? Are you still with me? And we could go on in Genesis 39 and we could see how the story continues to unfold. You know that he did get to Egypt. He did get sold to one called Potiphar. Potiphar took good care of him, and Joseph was blessed by God, and he did a good job after all as a slave. And he was elevated in the household, and all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife, she just wanted to take advantage of this young fellow, I guess. You know all about the story. And he wouldn't, but yet she made up some lies about him, and he ends up in prison. And do you suppose that perhaps after he was doing right in Potiphar's household, he was doing a good job, and after he was doing right by God, he was keeping his command, he wasn't about to break God's command and lie with her, that's what she wanted. Do you suppose that maybe in his mind, after doing good and doing right and following God and yet ending up in prison, he might have had a question, why me, Lord? Where are you, Lord? You suppose he might have had a question too. Or, as you continue on through the story, he waited in prison for some time to be released. Remember, he was innocent after all. He had been faithful to the Lord. He had not broken God's command of adultery or sexual immorality with Potiphar's wife like she wanted. And after he waited in prison for some years to be released because he just was waiting upon God and wondering, I'm sure. Do you suppose he might have had a question or two? Has God abandoned me? You see, friends, in Joseph's life, years went by before he saw the hand of God. You say, Jim, I don't know if I can endure years. But years went by in Joseph's life before he ever began to see the mighty prevailing hand of God. And I suspect during those years there was a question or two asked of God by Joseph, excuse me, saying, why me, Lord? Have you abandoned me? Have you left me here in this prison? I suspect he had a question or two. You remember his reply to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Do you suppose back there in the hole he recognized God's hand in his life? Probably not. Do you suppose he recognized being accused by Potiphar's wife and going off to prison, he recognized hands God? Maybe not. Or waiting in prison there, even after he told the chief butler and the chief cupbearer, don't forget me when you get back to Pharaoh, and he was still left there a couple of years. Do you suppose he saw the hand of God in his life? Maybe not even then. Years went by in Joseph's life before he ever had any real sense of what God was doing in his life. And of course, you know the story. He goes on and is elevated in a position of great authority. And he saves not only his family, the Egyptians, and all that. But I don't think he sensed the hand of God from the beginning. I think he probably had questions. I think he felt like sometimes we feel like, am I out here all alone, God? I thought you said you were going to be with me. I thought you said you're going to comfort me. And I think he had a whole lot of questions like we have. And as I've been thinking about some of the wrongs done you, or the sicknesses, or the tragedies that you've been through, or the wrongs done to us and our family, or somebody's wronging your kids or ours or whatever, we start to feel a little angry. We start to get a little mad or sad or worn out or maybe even a little bitter. And we've got some questions of God. Why do we have to go through this? And again, I'm reminded of the words of Job in Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, emphasizing 10. I'm reminded of those words. And bear in mind, at this point, Job has already lost 10 children. All of them. All of his sheep, 7,000. All of his camels, 3,000. His donkeys, his yoke of oxen, lots of servants, they're all gone. He lost them all. And the Bible picks it up in Job 2, verse 7. And it says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. And here's what he said. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? I'm reminded of those words when we seem to be assailed by wave after wave of adversity. I'm reminded, shall we indeed accept the good from God? Because we like the good after all. We like the freedoms in America that we enjoy and we love to have some food and clothes and houses and jobs and vote and freedoms and all that stuff. Shall we not receive the good that we have received from God? And yet, Job says, and not also accept some adversity? I'm reminded of how much God has blessed me and God has blessed us. And Job reminds me very quickly, shall we not also accept adversity? And I know the arguments. I know the arguments. It says, preacher, I don't like adversity. I don't like it either. I know the arguments. It says, I don't like pain. I don't much either. I know the arguments, brothers and sisters, because I've been there too. But maybe some of these times, these are growth opportunities. When I am being afflicted or assailed or misused or cussed at or whatever, maybe these are growth opportunities for me. Maybe it's simply the devil trying to ruin your life like he did with Job's. That's what the devil really wanted, you know, was Job, who was a righteous man, just to say to God, I guess I can't trust in you. That's what the devil wanted him to do. And he wants us to get to that same depth and say, God, I thought you were going to take care of me. I guess I can't trust in you. Brothers and sisters, if you remember nothing else today, remember that you can trust in the Master. You can trust in the Father. You can put your faith wholly in Him and trust Him in spite of adversity, in spite of losing all of His 10 children, in spite of losing His entire livelihood, in spite of now losing His health from the top of His head to the soles of His feet. In spite of all of that, He said, I can trust in the Master. Maybe the adversary is trying to ruin you too. Your family, your marriage, your children's walk with Jesus. Or keep our families or our children or our neighbors to coming to that point of claiming Jesus. Maybe that's a reality for us. Maybe we're in this several year drought. It feels like the prisons of Egypt. And we're wondering, God in heaven, are you real? Why in the world am I here? And we can't see what Joseph saw when he said, but God meant it for good. And we can't feel yet, because it's too painful, we can't feel the words of Job that says, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept some adversity? Once in a while, God is just trying to get our attention. You remember the story in Acts about Saul in his Damascus Road encounter? He was trying to get his attention because he wants to have a personal encounter and relationship with people. And sometimes he'll try to get our attention. You know what, brothers and sisters, you've heard me say this before. God loves you a great deal, and he cares more about your soul than he cares about your comfort. He wants your soul to acknowledge him as Lord so you can be in heaven with him forever. He cares more about Jim's soul and your soul than about my comfort, because he wants me to walk with Jesus. He wants me to be prepared for eternity in heaven with him. He wants us to reflect Christ. He wants to mold us into that people he can really use like Joseph. And please forgive me, I am not minimizing your hurts, because I know they are great. But I can see as I read through these scriptures, whether it's about Joseph or whether it's about Job or whether it's about Saul, I find over and over and over he can be trusted. The Master can be trusted. And so whether God is trying to draw you to a personal relationship with himself, he might put some roadblocks in our paths, folks. We might be just heading down the pathway of life and thinking everything is right, but if we have not met with Jesus like Saul did in a life-changing way, he might put an obstacle or two in our path so that we will divert from that road that we're on and meet with him. He might do that. Because he loves us. He wants us to be in heaven with him. He might be molding some of us to be more like Jesus. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Sometimes chastening and molding doesn't feel very good. But you can trust him. You can trust him. And whether God is trying to mold you into that person he knows you can be, you know, we could talk about a whole lot of the Josephs and the Daniels and the Peters and the Pauls. We could talk about a whole lot of Bible figures that got molded into that person that God could use. Or whether God is just allowing some things to happen, sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we just got a whole lot of questions, don't we? But you can trust him, friends. Let me read for you a couple verses in Romans, and I'm going to close with Psalm 13. Romans 8:38, Paul said, Paul who had been stoned and left for dead, Paul who had been beaten over and over with rods and many stripes laid on upon his back, who had been shipwrecked and starved, the same Paul that met Jesus on the Damascus Road and surrendered his life to him, went through all kinds of difficulties. It wasn't just roses. The same Paul said this, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you can trust him, even when it hurts. We sing a song from time to time. It's called Praise You in the Storm. Remember that song? That's not easy, is it? But let me close with a little psalm for you that David shared with us in Psalm 13. And let me just ask you to feel his words, to feel his pain, and also to live the last two verses of what he shares in Psalm 13. Here's what David said. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Have you been there, brothers and sisters? I know that some of you have. We cry out and throw up our hands and say, God, you must have forgotten about me because I'm going through this battle all by myself. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? I know some of you have been there. I know some of you are there right now. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. In other words, help me to see what's going to happen. Help me to know, God, that you're still here. David is crying out in anguish. Give light to my eyes, or I will just sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I've prevailed. And my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But listen to the heart of David inside. Praising you from the heart. Praising you from the inside out, we just sang. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And so even though we have gone through all kinds of horrors and difficulties and pain and tragedies and suffering and circumstances that we have not found enjoyable at all, our hope is still in Jesus. Our hope forever, when we put our faith in Him, is in Jesus. And I've said it before. I know the arguments. I don't like pain, Jim. I don't like this adversity. I don't like to hurt. I don't like my family to hurt. Trust in Him. Trust in the Master. And if He's got some obstacle in your way right now that you can't figure out how you've gotten around, can get around it, and you don't know Him, maybe it's because He wants to know you personally. Maybe it's because He loves you and cares more for your soul than your comfort. And so, brothers and sisters, may I just plead with you, trust in the Master. Trust in the Master. Trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. And even as you have trusted Him and are walking with Him, if it gets difficult, trust in Him. I told the earlier group this morning that three times our daughter went through heart surgery in the Minneapolis Heart Institute, Minneapolis Children's Hospital. And okay, we could accept round one, and we could accept round two. And after round two, and it had been a year or two, and she was getting better, we went back to see the surgeon again, and he said, there's something wrong. We've got to do it again. And I was angry with God. I was angry with the doctor. I was angry in my soul because my soul hurt for my little one. And I said and I cried out in my soul, why, oh God, again? And I wrestled with that. I struggled with that for some miles until we began to drive out of Minneapolis area. And the Lord touched my soul. And He touched my heart and He reminded me of the words of Job. Shall we not accept some difficulties when we have seen the hand of God in our lives? I know it hurts, brothers and sisters. I know life is difficult sometimes. But when you put your faith and trust completely in Him, He is our hope. He is our hope. He will not fail you. I know it seems like you're alone some days. He is our hope. He's the only hope that will not fail you. He's the only person and thing, place that will not fail you. Put your faith and hope in the resurrected Jesus. If you've never done it, do it today. And if you're a Christian struggling, like I have struggled from time to time with hurt, put your trust completely in Him. He'll not fail you. Let's pray. God in heaven, you know the hurts of our friends and our loved ones and our family today. You know the difficulties that the adversary has thrown their way. You know the challenges. You know the questions. You know the anxiousness already. You know it all, Father. And we praise you. We praise you in the storm. We will praise you, Father, in the hurts of life. We will praise you because you are faithful. You're faithful to us, O God. More faithful than we have been to you. Forgive me, forgive us for not being that faithful. You have been faithful to us. And so as my brothers and sisters, my friends and neighbors here today, Father, hurt in their soul, hurt in their body, hurt in their being, Father, touch them. May they feel a touch from the Master's hand. And Father God, if there's even one here today that is not sure they have encountered you personally, is not sure they have surrendered completely to you, I pray, gracious God, you touch their heart, and they would open up their heart and their arms and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and help me through this difficult time. Father, we need you. We long for you, O God Most High. And so minister to us, Holy Spirit of God, we pray, as we continue to walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.